Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
The title of our series is Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And that was what the disciples asked of Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. And part two will take up this topic, daily bread, daily provision. Say daily bread,
daily bread.
Daily provision.
Daily.
Let's go down to our key text, a couple of them. First of all, in Luke chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Go to Matthew chapter 6 now. This is the same story, different gospel. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, that your Father who is in secret may reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8, therefore do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Let me pause for one moment. Why would we need to pray if the Lord knows we have, he knows the things we have need of before we ask? Why do we need to pray? Because he said to. He said, do it. That's the way he set this up. Now, the other reason is, to engage us. I mean, how lazy would we be if God gave us everything and we never asked him for it, never reached out to him for it, never showed interest in it? So obviously God engages us, though he knows what we need. And it makes it really, it makes it more interesting that, wow, if God knows what we have need of and he plans to give it to us, if we only ask, why in the world would we not ask? Why would someone not pray when God's already said, I know what you need, and I have what you need, and I'm ready to give you what you need? All you have to do is ask. So there's no excuse, is it? And even how we ask, it doesn't require some flowery, big, bold kind of prayer. Lord, rend the heavens and come down, oh God. Lord, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of, no, just say, Lord, I need. Lord, help me. Now he gives us the outline. He says here, in this manner pray. Here's a model prayer, we call it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In verse 11, and give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to focus there right now for today's message. Say, give us this day, our daily bread. We talked about that first part, your kingdom come, your will be done. And let me go do a little brief review. I'm going to skip ahead a couple of slides here. Now, this model prayer that Jesus taught, there's six petitions, two sets of three. And it says here, let me say this to you first of all, that the first three petitions, parts of the prayer, if you will, have to do with God and the purpose of God. Again, hallow God's name. It is, God is holy. Worship him. Basically, worshiping God. All right, who God is. Second is kingdom come. And then third is your will be done in earth as is in heaven. So we discussed that last week. The first three of these petitions, of the first part of the prayer, have to do with God and the purpose of God. The second three petitions have to do with our needs and our well-being. And so today's topic, bread for today. Number two, forgiveness. Number three, deliverance from temptation and the evil one. Now, let's go straight to our topic today. Now, let me say this about last week. This is important. Kingdom come. We made a very important point. Christ said, your kingdom come and your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And the point we made to you last week was this, that the kingdom's in the midst of us. The kingdom is with us, but it does not come without submission to his will. Please hear that. The kingdom is with us, in us, but doesn't come in fullness without submission to his will. I shared a story last week about being at Ball State University, having an interest in French. I did well in French, taking French in high school. Thought I wanted to have French in college until I found out that there are classes where they only speak French, the whole class. We use English to learn French. English word, French word. English word, French word. We never spoke French. We just used both words and learned the language from using English words. So I had French in me, but I wasn't immersed. French did not come to me. I wasn't fluent. I did well in those lesser classes. I got an A, but I didn't understand that at the real high level, you don't just get to say French and English and ask, what did he say? Say it again. And at the higher level, you speak French the whole class, which is obvious to French majors. I'm like, really? So I did not want to be immersed in the language, so then French never came to me. Now, I'm just saying to us that you can be in church, around church, half Bibles, five Bibles. You can hear sermons, say amen to sermons, wave your hand to the preacher, handkerchief, all the rest. But the kingdom doesn't come in fullness until we submit our will to the will of God. If God can't wake you up at night and make you pray, or if God can't get you to change your plan, do his plan, amen? If God cannot get you to you know, if we cannot be persuaded to not do what we want to do, to do what God wants, then the kingdom hasn't come. I've shared a story oftentimes. I'm a young Christian. I'm on fire for God, so I said. And so my challenge, way back in the day, I've been saved maybe 1 year, 2 years. And so there was a concert coming into town, Graham Central Station. Yeah, I don't know about that. Old folk do. My favorite band. Coming on the same night of a church meeting. Same night. My goodness. They only come once a year. This my band. Do I get a ticket? Do I go or not go? And I was actually struggling with this. Do I go to the concert or do I go to church? Now, I ended up going to service, going to church, because I was at a point where the kingdom was coming to me. Now, before the kingdom came, I was like any old church person. I'll go to church until anything else. I'll do what God wants unless anything else comes up. Because my will wasn't submitted to God's will. The kingdom hadn't come to me. It was in me and around me, but I was not submitted to the will of God. And so I always struggled with this thing of, do I do what God wants? Do I do what I want? And that was all, but listen, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and got into the Word of God and got serious about God, it was no question of which way I'm going to go. If a fork in the road presents itself, and God has a way of just, see, God tests us. He doesn't tempt us, he tests us. And the test is, he'll put two things in front of you and says, I set before you life and death, blessing, cursing, choose life. He even said what to do. He even said what to do. Come on now. Whatever God requires, he what? He provides. Whatever God requires, He provides. Whatever you need, He provides. So your kingdom come, your will be done in earth, in me, as it is in heaven. And so when you pray this way, what it does, it helps to shape your will, reshape your will. Right? We are not naturally inclined to do God's will. We were not born to do God's will. We were born as rebellious, sinful people, little rebellious children. You know, all of us were bad sometimes, even Bertha as a child. Maybe not. I doubt Bertha was ever bad in her whole life. Amen. But I bet she was rebellious. Because nice folk can rebel. Come on. Be very nice and full of rebellion. The point is, we need to let the Spirit of God help us. And so this prayer wasn't just for us to say the prayer. This was a prayer offered to help shape us and mold us and help us come into line with the will of God. Is that clear? Today, let's talk again about daily bread, daily provision. The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And this is a part of the prayer that Jesus said to pray. We pray the whole thing, but we're taking one part at a time. Now, this text is explained different ways. For one, the text has been explained to refer to bread as the bread of the Lord's Supper. Like we have the fruit of the vine, the wine, and the bread. So some take it as to mean the bread of the Lord's Supper, which we know is not the case, but again, people have said this. Second, people say, well, it refers to the spiritual food of the Word of God. The bread of the Word of God. True teaching, true doctrine, essential food for our spiritual lives. Well, that makes sense, but it's not what it means. Because my point is this. See, sometimes we just want to make everything really super spiritual. You know, our daily bread. And look for some really deep hidden meaning. Sometimes it isn't deep or hidden at all. The third way this text is often explained, or sometimes explained, is the bread refers to Jesus. He called himself the bread of life. Daily bread, daily Jesus. It's logical, but it's not what it means. And fourth, this text is taken to mean the bread of the heavenly kingdom. In fact, someone said to Jesus, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Another meaning. So again, we sometimes search for deep and hidden meanings, when in fact the real meaning is very simple. What does it mean? Well, this word daily, I learned this in some study. The Greek word for daily in the Bible is used only here in this text in Matthew 6 and also in the Gospel of Luke. Of the same story. Luke and Matthew have the same story. The word daily is not used anywhere else in the New Testament than those two places. And for that reason, it was difficult to understand and difficult to translate. But in the earlier part of the 20th century, a papyrus fragment, a papyrus was a kind of paper they used, they made a plant-based paper. And that they wrote on back in those times when Jesus walked the earth. And a papyrus fragment was found with this Greek word on it. The Greek word for daily was on that papyrus fragment. Now watch this. This is good. So it we found out that that papyrus fragment had a list of items on it. The word daily was on that fragment sheet of paper, if you will, and below it was some things listed. And so what they understood was that it was a shopping list. It was a note to remind the person to buy certain supplies. And so it was a daily list. The list was daily meant a list of things to get. So the word daily literally means things that you need, needed things, things you need for that day. So it's interesting to me that we look for all the deep meaning behind words sometimes, and many times the literal meaning of this word is, give me the things we need to eat for this coming day. So then, daily bread is basically a shopping list. It's a list of what you need for that day. It's that simple. It's not deep, it's not heavy. It's saying, Lord, I come before you daily. I don't come on Monday asking for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm coming on Monday asking for Monday. I'll be back on Tuesday asking for Tuesday. I'll be back on Wednesday asking for Wednesday. That's the intent of that word, of this text. It's daily bread. Say daily bread.
Daily bread.
And so we see in this simple prayer that God cares about what we need. It's not deep, it's very simple. And so there's five truths I want to give you, five ways to understand this text and what it means to ask God daily, to have your daily list, if you will, your shopping list, so to speak. First, we understand that God cares for our bodies. Say, God cares for my body. Yeah, God, of course, he cares for your spirit, your heart, your soul, but he also cares about your physical body, your physical needs. And Jesus showed us that. He spent a lot of time healing people's diseases in their bodies. He fed hungry people, didn't he do it? See, so Jesus met physical needs. And of course, he meant that also to minister to a spiritual need, but he never neglected the physical. Second, this prayer shows us that we should live one day at a time. Amen. Say one day at a time. And not to worry or be anxious about the distant or the unknown future. No, Jesus taught us that. And I'm thinking, when you think about this one day at a time, it harkens back, and Christ may have considered this, back to Exodus 16, when he gave Israel manna. Remember manna? Supernatural food from heaven. But the instruction he gave them was, only get enough for one day. Go out in the morning and gather as much as you need for that day. Because if you try to store it, it's going to spoil. It'll ruin. It was made for one day. And God was teaching them then, and Christ teaching us today, you got to live one day at a time. It's not that you don't plan ahead. It's not contradicting the importance of planning, just saying as far as your immediate focus goes, we must learn to appreciate God every day. Say every day. And God taught Israel that. And he teaches us that. There is value in remembering that when we live day by day, it teaches us to appreciate that day, to make the most of that day, to thank God for that day, to not take the day for granted, to not look up and say, oh, that's going to be a bad day. Well, but I guess tomorrow's going to be better. This is make it a great day. We don't want to look past where we are. Yeah, we have hope for the future. Hope's a part of our lives. But there's something very important about having a lot of, placing a lot of value in this day. As our prayer says, and we often say, psalmist said that we thank God for this day that he has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And the truth is, for many people, today's their last day in the earth. We don't think like that, but that's a fact. Things come and go, things change. Nobody predicted we'd have COVID and, and be in this situation for all these months. I mean, some said, you know, we're going to have it come in March, be gone by May, you know, all this kind of stuff. When it gets hot, the virus is going away, stuff like that. What you better do is focus on today. Maximize today. Make your plans, because the Bible does talk about, you know, plans and purposes without negating that. But Jesus is teaching us here in your daily prayer, thank him for provision for this day. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And sometimes we have to focus on today to avoid procrastination. There's a thought right there. Sometimes I'd rather just put off what I should deal with today. I don't want to deal with this. I don't like it. It's untidy. I'll just put it off. And I believe there's a sense here where daily bread is also provision of wisdom and courage and strength to handle something on the day it should be handled. Amen, somebody? I told y'all last week, my front yard had become such a mess of grass, different types of grass. At least five kinds of grass is growing up in there. And three, four kinds of weed. Now, from a distance, it's all green from a distance, you know. But from my bedroom window, you know how it is when the lawn is bad and has missing spots, from an angle, it all looks good. But looking higher, look down, like, oh, man, bare spot here. Where? So I told you, I tried myself to fix it. I got some weed killer that wouldn't even kill the weeds, y'all. I got weed killer that wouldn't kill these weeds. I got fertilizer that wouldn't fertilize. I was lost to that lawn. And I decided, you know, let me call somebody in. I called people in before, it didn't help me. I realized it came to me from a neighbor who did this. The neighbor actually killed his whole lawn and replanted the whole thing. I thought, boom, revelation. This is the day that this lawn is going away. I've tried fooling with it. I've tried fixing it up. Let me call a professional in. And the guy came out and sprayed some stuff, and in 4 or 5 days, it all was almost all brown now. So now we get a whole new lawn going in a couple of weeks. All right, I mean, you're going to have to plant a whole new lawn. That's more work, too, more work for them. Amen. I thought about, see, you know, daily provision means decisions you make on a day. Right? Yeah. Decide to do something about this here. Deal with the situation. Stop putting it off. Deal with it. Get it done. Say, get it done. And so getting it done, in this case, and in fact, the guy who came out agreed, yeah, this is, I can't help this myself, you know, right? No more companies coming out telling me they're going to fix it up, and I'm paying them all this money per week, per month. They come out, and it's worse every month. So daily provision is not just as simple as, Lord, give me what I need today, what I want today. Sometimes it goes to the purposes of your life, things that God wants you to do that have to start on a certain day. Amen? Yeah. Everything happens on a day, right? Yeah. Now, the third area that this prayer teaches us, again, daily prayer, daily provision, is praying for daily provision that puts God in his proper place in our lives. This is a good one. Because we don't think much about the fact that we're out of order and out of line with God. We think everything's great. I'm saved. I'm good to go. Well, yeah, you're saved. You're good to go. But we may not be where God wants us in our spiritual lives, in our physical life, in our whatever life. And so daily provision puts God in his place because I'm asking God to help me. And sometimes, you know, when God gives you what you ask for, He will attach to it instructions. He'll attach instructions to what he's giving you. He'll attach instructions to it. And so it's not like God is going to give us what we want because he's some kind of a, you know, servant of ours. He's our Father. And he provides what we need, but he also provides instruction, direction, and correction. Won't he do it? And so praying this way puts God in his proper place in our lives, that we're seeking him daily and we're in communion with him and we're learning and gaining from him every day. So that we're reminded that it is from God we receive food and everything we need for life. And no man has created a seed yet. People cannot create seed to grow, create food. Right? No one, we can plant seed, we can harvest, we can cultivate and harvest, but no man has ever created the seed that produces the harvest. The seed comes from God via nature in a natural sense. The seed comes from God via ideas, via direction. You follow me? So in that daily time of prayer, daily bread sometimes means a seed. A seed come along with that daily provision. A seed. God give you something you can plant. Because until God give you seed, you can't do anything. We can't create. We can't manifest. We cannot produce harvest. It's about, God said in Genesis, for as long as earth remains, there shall be seed, time, and harvest. Seed, time, and harvest is the order that God's given us in this natural realm. Therefore, in our prayer time, we say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. It's not just food you get, it's direction, it's seed, it's insight, it's something to help you get started in some way. It's good, isn't it? Now, the fourth way we understand this text, daily bread, is reminds us of how prayer works. Of how prayer works. What would happen if you just sat back, like I said earlier, if you sat back waiting for bread to fall into your hands? How long would you be sitting there? Now, God may toss you something to keep you alive, you know, until you figure out what's going on. But if we sat there waiting for bread, we would starve. We would starve. If we waited for the opportunity and a job to show up, we would be without work, without money, without pay. That there is the focus that this is how prayer works. Prayer is that we ask. We put in the faith. We put in the effort of faith to ask God, to engage him. We don't just sit back and wait for things to come to us. You set back in the sense of your faith. You're trusting God. Now, after you pray, God may give instruction on what you should do. Or he may say, just wait on me. Either way. But it all begins the same way. Prayer. Say prayer. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Wow. That's pretty plain, isn't it? The fact that God knows it is not your guarantee of having it. It is a hope of having it. Thank God, you know he knows. Man, I mean, how much encouraged should we be knowing that God knows what you have need of before you ask him? And he has the supply. He has what you need. So how much more should we be encouraged to say, Lord, okay, Lord, you know I need this, and you have it to give. Lord, what? I don't understand. Oh, God, I don't understand. You don't understand. Why, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I know you know I need this. I know you have it. And I don't know what's going on. Would you stop whining? And ask God. Ask him. Sometimes, man, the solution is so simple, we need help to misunderstand it. Or people say, well, you got to come to my conference and get my 5-CD series on the keys to receiving from God. There's one key. Ask. Now, of course, ask sincerely. Ask according to his will. We know this. But it still comes down to ask. Well, this is what happens. When we pray daily this way, it reminds us of how prayer works. Because sometimes we get so overwhelmed by our problems and by our concerns and by our fears that we actually stop seeing the solution. We actually complicate things so much until we can no longer see what's plainly there right in front of us. But praying this way helps to clear out the clouds, clear out the clutter, and help us to see what God said. Amen. My final point today, again, the fifth way in which this prayer, this simple prayer, daily bread, daily provision, helps us is Jesus did not teach us to pray, give me my daily bread. What he said was, give us our daily bread. And the point to that is to understand our prayer should not be selfish. Because even when God blesses you, he intends to bless somebody else through you. Amen. Say, when God blesses me, he intends to bless somebody through me. So we're not just talking about, Lord, give me my daily bread. He said, give us our daily bread. It's what Jesus said. And I believe the reason for this partly is in this world, we see a lot of needs in this world, even among believers in Christ. But the problem is not a lack of provision. Even in nations where you see starving children, there's not a lack of food in this world. We have a distribution problem, amen? We have a problem of not sharing, of not distributing, of not making sure that people get what they have need of. That's the problem we have in this world. So starvation, so well why does God let the people, let the children starve? It's not God, it's people letting people starve. People allow things. And so our prayer, and that's a big picture, but even in our private prayer time, we should still see the big picture. Our prayer time, again, is not just about my name is Jimmy, I take all you can give me. No, we do have personal need, that's obvious, we ask, but we don't confine our prayers for provision to Lord, give me my daily bread. Now, Lord, give us our daily bread. That clear? Yeah. That is so important. That, because that's a kingdom perspective. See, when we pray the way Jesus prayed, he doesn't make us selfish. He doesn't turn us inward. He turns us outward. And the fact is, as you turn outward to be a blessing, guess what happens? You get blessed. Give and it shall what? Be given to you. This is kingdom business now. So operating by the kingdom then puts you in position to be fully supplied. He gives seed to the sower. He gives seed to the sower and multiplies the bread sown. And that's how we have survived and thrived as a people, as a church, is that we have long, long ago learned the value of saying, Lord, give us our daily bread. Not just give me, give us. And then we take whatever God gives us and we use some of it and we share a lot of it. Amen, somebody? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us of these principles. Lord, you are teaching us how to pray. You're teaching us how prayer works. You're teaching us, Lord, in some depth what we believe you meant by these wonderful words. And Lord, thank you that just as you instructed,